As of the first of this year, the world's second largest carbon emissions trading system swings into full effect. California has now put an upper limit on the amount of greenhouse gases that can be released in a year.
The first thing to understand about AB 32 is that it's capping the total amount of greenhouse gas emissions that can be released into the atmosphere.
Barry Vesser is with the Climate Protection Campaign, a Santa Rosa-based advocacy group that helped write the cap-and-trade bill.
And it's putting a price on that. So in some way, it will affect everybody, but in a very small way. Probably most people won't notice it. Energy will get slightly more costly as a result of it, but the initial differences will be very small.
For the right to emit carbon, certain industries will buy a share of the total allowed emissions. Over time, this allowed total will decrease. For now, the carbon price is quite low. During the initial carbon credit offering in November, the market settled on a price just a few cents above the state-set floor. Also, some of the money generated by the program is collected by public utilities, but they don't get to keep it.
They are required to pass that back to consumers, and they're doing it in two ways. One is they'll shield consumers from the actual increase in energy prices created, and the other is they will give back on a per-household basis a dividend.
Twice a year, on our electricity bills, we'll be paid a rebate. In the early years, it's expected this will be somewhere between $20 and $40.
Even though you're being shielded from the electricity price increase, when you raise the price of carbon, carbon is embedded in our economy. Everything is influenced by it. So the cost of food goes up. The cost of manufacturing things goes up. The Public Utilities Commission basically saying, we're making sure you won't feel the original cost of the electricity going up. And also, we want to protect you from feeling the increase of goods and services through the grocery store, the hardware store, et cetera. So that climate dividend has actually helped protect lower and middle income people against what you might call the price shock of having a carbon price.
This climate dividend won't just help people pay the bills, Vesser says. There's also a symbolic reason behind it. The atmosphere is something we all share.
It's a commons. It's a collective commons. And if we're going to regulate it in some way or some money is going to be made out of it, we should all benefit or bear the burden of it. And that's really the philosophy underlying the climate dividend.
While several other carbon trading schemes exist around the world, California's is the very first to funnel money back to the consumers in this way. And that makes Vesser proud.
We are one of the few organizations that really pushed on this climate dividend thing because we really believe that to be successful, you have to have a carbon price. That's what's going to really start moving our economy in the right direction away from fossil fuels and towards renewable energy. And you got to make sure that that's not balanced on the backs of poor people, essentially.
Critics, such as the California Chamber of Commerce, charge that it will hamper the economy. But many environmental advocates, like Vesser, believe that it will spur innovation and investment, and they hope the idea will catch and spread to other parts of the nation.
Other people have followed us on a whole raft of other environmental legislation. And I think just as importantly, it is something that is going to drive investment in energy into our state. Sometimes I just feel like in the day-to-day headlines about this, we lose context of what's happening to us as a global community and what are we going to do about it.
For KRCB's North Bay Report, I'm Danielle Venton.